are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Yeah, it is a football Friday, and we are out here at PNC Bank in Medina on Bueller's Drive, excuse me. Come out and say hi to us because we're going to be here for about another, a little more than a half an hour. We are. The event goes on till 6 p.m. Interactive games, food, free drinks. So come hang out. Frank Stams is here for a little while longer. He's been signing some autographs, former Browns linebacker. Really enjoyed our visit with him. Nathan, you got some news about the Bengals. What do we got, brother?
We certainly do have some news. The Bengals have released their official injury report right now. And this is the deal, ladies and gentlemen. Leon Hall, doubtful. Dre Kirkpatrick, doubtful. Reggie Nelson, doubtful. These are three guys that are key to that secondary. Hall, their number one corner. Nelson, their best safety. Kirkpatrick, arguably their number two corner. This is big for the Browns. This is very big. The path to victory got a little bit wider, I'd say.
Yeah, that's where I was going with that encouraging feeling, because that was the buzz I've been hearing since yesterday, that the injuries in the back end of that defense were going to be very problematic for this Bengals team. Now, here's the key, though. You know, if you're the Browns, that's a good thing, but don't sleep on whoever else ends up stepping up and going, you know, in that secondary. You know, it's always dangerous to get in that frame of mind that says, okay, the other guys are hurt, we're all set, we just go after them. Got a lot of things that have to be done before you get there. Protect Hoyer, give him time, you know, let him do his thing as a quarterback. Brandon Whedon met with reporters today, and we've got some sound from that. Dave DiNatale via Jason Gibbs has put together some cuts from that. Nathan, let's get into some of that. And the first question he was asked is when he expects to be back from that thumb injury.
Not yet. I mean, that's I'm still playing it day by day. I'm trying to test this thing, keep pushing it, and then whenever Chud and the staff is ready for me to go, I'll be ready to go.
Yeah, it's sort of we're going to be there with a kind of a iffy thing, a week-to-week thing or whatever, or if not day by day, with his injury. So I don't know what the prognosis is any deeper than what he's revealing. I thought it was going to get a little more encouraging this week. I don't know that it has, Nathan.
I don't know that it has either, and I think Brandon Whedon's ability to quarterback this football team is not going to be dependent on the health of his thumb. It's going to be dependent on the performance of Brian Hoyer this week and going forward, I believe.
So Brandon Whedon was asked flat out, do you expect to get your job back once you're healthy?
At this point where we're at, you know, that's kind of out of my control. My main focus is making sure this thumb, you know, continues to make the steps that allow me to get back and be 100%. You know, there's no reason to rush back and get to where I'm not completely healthy. So my main focus is getting healthy. And whenever I am, you know, then, sit down with Chud and we'll go from there.
Sounds like he knows, he sees the writing on the wall, yeah, and he says the right things. You know, that's all he can do right now is get healthy and then hope to get the opportunity again. One thing that he was asked, though, because I think it was a big part of Brian Hoyer's performance against Minnesota, was the presence of Josh Gordon. And Whedon was asked, you know, do you wish you would have had Josh Gordon in the first two games? And I'm imagining he's going to say, absolutely.
I mean, you know, you're over there, and you know, it's nice seeing Josh back out there, first of all. I mean, it's nice having him. As an offensive weapon for us, and he's just a huge asset for this offense in the passing game. So, I mean, yeah, it's nice being out there with 12. But other guys may play. Jordan came in, had a huge game. We played well offensively. Did a lot of really good things.
Yeah, I mean, and if what we would expect for him to say, which is, and you've said this, you've reiterated this on this show, it's the biggest regret. That you've had for him and maybe for the team is that pairing. How much of a difference would it make? And it would have to make a difference. Right. I'm not sure how much. I'm not going to say it wouldn't have made any difference at all, and I'm not going to say that it was impossible to think that Brandon Whedon could have enjoyed a lot more success. Had he had the opportunity to throw to him, it'll be what we don't know. But that's how this game works.
Yep.
A door closes for one player or one situation, it opened for another guy, and that guy is Brian Hoyer right now.
That guy is Brian Hoyer, and you just wonder. I mean, certainly you think the Miami game could have gone a little bit differently if you have a Josh Gordon out there. You don't know what could happen in Baltimore. After all, the Browns had the lead after the first half in that game as well. So it's, you know, it's tough, and that's the thing that I feel the worst for Brandon Whedon about, that he didn't have Josh Gordon, then he gets hurt, Hoyer comes in, plays well. We'll see what happens. It's, you know, I hope for Brandon Whedon, because he seems like a very good guy. You know, we've had him here on the show, that he gets a shot. But if Brian Hoyer plays well, he's not going to get a shot. And that, you know, probably means Brian Hoyer is playing very well, and that's good for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And his story, you know, because it's parallel worlds now. The Brian Hoyer story, we ride that, and the team rides that as long as they possibly can. And the hope is that the only reason you're writing that story is not just because he's okay, not just because he's doing enough. It's because he's making a difference. He's doing difference-making things, as we saw him at his best last week, and less of the things like interceptions that we saw him when he was at his worst last week. It was a game that had a little bit of everything. But I'm also, you know, looking at a guy who needs to get a better feel for who's around him. That was a first outing as a starter for the Browns, and truly he has not had any meaningful practice snaps up to the week in preparation for that game. He's had some, and he had the preseason game, but in truth, and Bernie Kosar talked with us quite a bit about what he was able to ascertain of Hoyer from that preseason game, and I know, as he said on the show, he was pretty jacked up about that. He said this guy, there were a lot of good things that he showed when we were riding back from Chicago to Cleveland after that game, and Bernie was doing the analysis of it for KYC TV. You just got the sense from him that he saw something that could lead to more, and obviously it has, but because of that injury to Brandon Whedon, and I don't know. I'm encouraged for Brian Hoyer. I'd love to see this take off and do well, but I think, like a lot of people, Nathan, I'm taking this on a week-to-week basis.
And you've got to. The guy's been in the league for a while. You look at the Arizona Cardinals last year. They were desperate for a quarterback. He got one start, was not brought back. They did bring in Carson Palmer. So he's been around. This isn't like this is a can't-miss talent, you know, a rookie who's just coming in the league, getting a start. He shows the moxie. This is a guy who's been around for a while, hasn't gotten an opportunity yet, and typically in the National Football League, if you bounce around, he's on his third team, and he's only been in the league a handful of years. You know, typically that's not somebody the teams are you know, drooling over to get into their organizations, but you got to give him credit when given the opportunity. He played well. He's got to clean up those turnovers this week, but the fact that three of the four starting defensive backs are out for the Cincinnati Bengals is massive.
Yeah, that could create some opportunities for sure for the Browns passing game. Our own Jameer Howerton, he takes you inside the locker room on a regular basis on this show. He had a chance to sit down with Browns linebacker Paul Kruger. Take it away, Jameer.
Thanks, Vic. Paul, just taking a look back at the work week, what are your thoughts? How do you guys think you did in practice this week as you prepared for the Cincinnati Bengals?
You know, just speaking from the defensive standpoint, I thought we did really well. We were sharp. We've made a ton of adjustments, different personnel in the game this week. So we feel extremely confident. You know, we were in there just watching film today as a defensive group, and you know, everything we see on tape is a reflection of what we've been preparing for in practice. And I think we got a nice game plan. So,
Paul, do you think that this is one of the toughest offenses that you'll face this season, and given the fact that you'll face them twice this year?
There's no doubt. I mean, they're a very talented offense. They got a lot of weapons. I think the quarterback has a lot of skill, and now that he's had a few years to you know, get that experience, he could be a deadly guy. So I think the main thing for us is just playing sound fundamentals and getting after the quarterback. You know, we got to hit him, we got to get to him and disrupt him, because if you leave him back there, he's pretty dangerous.
They have a duo and two running backs, and they have a very talented receiver. But when you look at those two tight ends, talk about the challenge that they present.
Like you said, they're talented guys. I mean, they're one of the better duos in the league. I think Graham can block, or Grisham, I'm sorry. He's a stout guy. He's hard to shake. He's a athletic guy, so kind of can do everything. And those are the guys you really have to respect.
And just as you guys prepared for this week, coming off that huge win from last week, was that really like a catalyst to build the energy and the motivation in and around the locker room?
Yeah, it just proved to us that we are who we thought we were, and we can do the things that need to be done to win games, and that's what it's, you know, it's got to start somewhere. And I feel like last week, it really gave us a good a good bit of momentum rolling through to the next week, and so we just got to now learn how to sustain that momentum and make the plays continuously through the season.
Well, Paul, thank you for your time, and good luck to you Sunday.
Appreciate it.
Back to you, Vic.
All right, good stuff. Thank you, Jameer, and good stuff from Paul Kruger, Nathan, to talk about that matchup. Wow, you know, you think about the Jermaine Gresham and Tyler Eifert tight ends versus the Browns linebackers. You know that if there's one matchup this Bengals team is going to try to get going throughout this game, it'll be that. And it'll be interesting to see how the Browns hold up in coverage.
And that's going to be the key, especially against those tight ends. I think Tyler Eifert, Jermaine Gresham, can they hold up in coverage there? Mohamed Sanu, Marvin Jones. And again, we've talked about it, and I think it bears repeating. The matchups that make me the most nervous are when you get Giovanni Bernard matched up on a linebacker of the Cleveland Browns out in space. That's the one that's going to make me the most nervous, because that guy is so dangerous in the open field.
He really is. All right, we've got much more coming up. A conversation with Gerard Cherry, a regular on this show. We're going to have our visit with him next, get his thoughts on Sunday's game against the Browns and Bengals. Vic Carucci out here at the PNC Bank in Medina on Bueller's Drive. People are out here having fun playing games, little beanbag toss going on, little mommy-daughter game happening right in front of us here, enjoying watching that, and free food, free beverages, all kinds of stuff. It's a beautiful day in Northeast Ohio. Come out and enjoy it with us here at the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns tailgate party, the last of the four, so make sure you hit it. It's 6 p.m. is when this wraps up today, so but we'll be here for, again, for about another 25 minutes or so. All right, much more is coming up on CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR. Oh, I just have to see it now.